It's developing a process that both works in store and online. But the biggest part of that is getting the stakeholders involved earlier, sooner than later, right? Because they're going to be the main drivers, the main supporters of, we're doing appointment processing, we're doing the full deal online, we're trying some new things here and there. Those stakeholders are really going to push the initiatives that we set in the early planning.
Yeah, good afternoon or good morning to everyone. Thank you for joining our webinar today. In front of you, you're going to have me. My name is Jeff again. I'm with Car Wars. I've been here about 2 years, 20 years in software sales on the retail side. So probably a lot older than some, maybe not. I don't know. Barbie, how about you?
Hi, thanks for having me, Jeff. Yes, my name is Barbie Brand. I run national account sales here at Car Wars. Been here couple years, but actually worked here about 10, 12 years ago as one of the first sales reps. So giving away my age as well, been in the industry about 22, 23 years. And we want to welcome Jacob. Thank you, Jacob, for joining us. Jacob Berry from RumbleOn.
Yeah, thanks, Barbie. Jeff, thanks for having me.
We're glad that everyone's here. Yeah, so what we're going to do here, guys, is we're going to, just don't forget at the end, we're going to go through a Q&A. Submit your questions through the chat that's within Zoom, and then time permitted, we will certainly get to those questions, okay? All right. So today's topic is going to be key to building a high-performing business development center. And Jacob, again, is going to help us with the process that he put together for the number of years that he's been with RideNow and then RumbleOn. And so we're going to go through a questions and answers with Jacob, and we're going to bounce back and forth between Barbie and I. All right. So, Jacob, again, thank you. First question for you, sir. We got a little background information from you, but if you can tell me a little bit how you got into the industry.
Yeah, Jeff, I actually started in service in the dealership. I've been a dealership guy my whole time, several years in the service department, turning the wrench. And I always kept looking up at the sales department there with the nice suits and the guys in the watches and driving the fancy cars. And I said, that's probably something I should do. So I started in the front of the house selling, normal floor sales guy, like a lot of guys start. And then this new thing started to emerge called internet sales. And we were starting to do some inquiries and answering some questions and fielding phone calls from this thing called the website, the dealer website. So that's how I got started into it. And outside of there, just really gravitated towards the processes that they had towards that online customer, and became a BDC manager, and ultimately was able to elevate to running several dealerships.
That's great. So Jacob, now that you've gone through all of those facets, what's your current role? I know you wear a lot of hats, but what's your current role, and maybe what does a day-to-day look like for you?
Yeah, my current role is special projects now. So I'm still very much involved with the digital process and how customers find us online, with some of the lead generation and customers just kind of seeing our inventory and some of our advertisements there. And also on the backside of that is how it all flows through the CRM and creating the processes and some of the, some of the workflows that the customers may flow through at each individual dealership throughout the country.
Nice.
That's great. Perfect. So on the phones, how critical are they to the success of what you've done at RideNow and RumbleOn?
Probably one of the most critical. Still day and age, the customers want to have that instant gratification to connect on the phone. They still submit leads. They still engage with the chat tool. They're still doing Messenger. But that phone call is so imperative to our business. Crazy.
Yeah, and there's always debate, right, Jacob? So there's BDCs or contact centers. I mean, there's a high debate amongst dealers, but what would you say the benefits are to having a BDC? And then maybe what are some drawbacks?
Well, certainly the biggest benefit is just having a dedicated team to that online customer, right? I always teach my people in the field that, hey, you know, the sales guys are great. I was one, so I can speak as one. But they're more or less focused on the customer that's in the showroom or on the lot, and they're the right now customer that we got to handle, right? The BDCs, the digital teams, those are the teams dedicated to literally everyone else outside of the dealership. And so having just a different type of skill set, using different types of technologies, that's really the biggest benefit of having a dedicated BDC for those types of customers.
Right. That's great. Thanks,
Jacob. What would you say from a drawback side? I mean, it probably took you guys a while to move towards this model. Are there any drawbacks that you see, or maybe things that could be improved just from the process that you have currently?
Sure. Well, I mean, always looking at that bottom line. You know, these are extra expenses that maybe, you know, some dealerships just may not have the budget for, and so they sometimes don't have a choice for that. And there's alternatives to kind of having a hybrid type model where sales guys are still doing digital leads, but if you've got the budget, you've got the allowance for that extra expense, definitely having someone dedicated to that online customer is going to be a huge benefit for it.
I agree.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Jacob. Talk to me about some of the goals that you may have had, you know, coming into this new role and building out that contact center. But, you know, what were your ultimate goals to start?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a whole new world, right? 2022, certainly with the acquisition that Montblanc had with Ride Now Power Sports and Freedom Power Sports, it's primed to change the game. So what we wanted to do was just kind of understand a little bit more about this national footprint that we now have with 50 dealerships nationally, looking at the entire scope for all the different brands and all the different OEMs that we sell. And certainly having Montblanc as a parent company, being able to provide such this massive amount of used inventory that unfortunately for other dealers, they just don't have that luxury. So what we wanted to implement right away was just a standard process. What does this look like for call volume? How can we help the customer in achieving that goal of, you know, buying that new motorcycle or ATV and really kind of facilitating through the buying purchase from their online efforts, finding us online, calling, submitting emails.
That's great. And how would you say you're progressing to those goals today? You know, I know you've kind of moved on and someone else is in charge now, right? So what do those goals look like today?
Well, now we've got to massage the KPIs. Okay, so now that we've got some processes in place, certainly our technology partners like Car Wars and, you know, helping us getting some visualization to what the kind of call volume is coming in from all of our different ad sources. You know, we really wanted to kind of understand what the KPIs moving forward would look like for us and really trying to meet those goals of the business metrics that really drive the revenue.
That's great. And lastly, you know, any critical lessons you learned along the way that you could possibly share?
Just take it one step at a time, you know, trying to manage such a large footprint, you know, with as many dealerships that we have and trying to tie all these technology points together. It's a big, big job on paper. But as my old mentor used to tell me, there's only one way to eat an elephant. And that's one bite at a time.
Old school. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And it kind of leads us to what I was thinking or my next question, which was just when it comes to creating consistency, you know, across the dealerships, both with your agents and your contact centers, you know, how do you prioritize that as a seamless process or experience for your customers, you know, to overcome that?
Well, just like I said, it's developing a process that both works in store and, you know, online. But the biggest part of that is getting the stakeholders involved earlier, you know, sooner than later, right? Because they're going to be the main drivers, the main supporters of, you know, we're doing appointment processing, we're doing the full deal online, we're trying some new things here and there. Those stakeholders are really going to push the initiatives that we set in the early planning.
You know, moving back to the contact center, I just want to talk about your agents and, you know, how you maintain that visibility of them. And then probably ultimately, you know, what tools you're using to hold them accountable. I know Car Wars, right? But any other vendors you can think of that helps you with that visibility and that accountability?
Well, the softball's right there. Obviously, Car Wars is a huge, huge partner in helping us get some visibility on our phone calls, which I've always kind of labeled as one of the toughest opportunities that any dealership will always face, right? So let's just think about it. You know, when you've got all these different opportunities coming at you, you've got web forms, you've got chat, you got people walking into your showroom. The one that's the toughest, or might I argue the most mishandled, is that incoming call. So how do you get more visibility on that? You partner with a great vendor that's able to allow you the visibility on the metrics and the call recordings, and even do some of the red flag alerts with the call reviews, and just kind of bring those to the top of the funnel, the more that you're managing on a day-to-day basis. But outside of that, I would say the CRM is going to be the biggest tool, and just how you're managing all the opportunities, like I said, into communication with the different entities that's involved in it, from the person answering the lead, from the person that's taking the appointment from the showroom, and finance, from the product team, just all the way down the line.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, you mentioned Car Wars, which is great, of course, and managing those metrics. How is, you know, if a specific way exists even, how are you elevating, you know, those phone trends? So I know you mentioned alerts, you know, but how are you improving accountability for your agents and just making it a data-backed, you know, decision with that?
Well, you first got to use the tool, right? You can have a great toolbox full of all the latest tools, but if you're not using them, you're just kind of putting a roadblock in front of yourself. Getting them to use the outbound has been one of the biggest accountability measurement tools that we've been able to use in the last year, whereas traditionally we were only measuring and kind of tracking the inbound calls, mainly because we wanted to know what our marketing sources look like from all the money that we're putting out there, right? But coming to the outbound side of it, we were really able to gauge what does an average rep's call volume outbound look like? How many times are they connecting with customers in a given hour or day or week or month, however you wanted to, you know, frame that window. And really, it's just kind of taking a sampling from here and there and just kind of making sure that they're on par with the techniques and the scripting that we put in front of them.
That's right. Yeah, you know, and just looking, you know, how you onboard these agents, if you could talk a little bit about what your philosophies are on what kind of training they're receiving. You know, do you believe in scripts? Do you really hold them accountable to, you know, make sure you're doing X, Y, Z in these calls? Maybe you can spend some time talking about that.
Yes. Well, when I was first trained, my old general manager, when I first got on the phone, threw a stack of paper in front of me and he said, start calling. And I said, well, who are these people? He said, doesn't matter. Just get them in. Well, what am I going to say, boss? Doesn't matter. Just get them in. And that was kind of my first introduction to the phone game at the dealership in the old BDC. And I always kind of promised myself I would never do that to anybody that I ever put on the phones ever again. So what we've developed over several years is a comprehensive training that before we ever put anybody on a live call with a customer, we're going to make sure that we've got our role playing down. We've got some interactive videos. We have a national sales training team that tours the country. Because you got to imagine, we're coast to coast from California to Florida now. That they visit the dealerships. They do in-person training. They do 30-minute or 60-minute online training. And we've got these various levels from beginner to expert, from novice to manager, that just takes them all the way through on the training levels. But my favorite part is their first day on the phone, right? So we've done all that stuff. And now, okay, let's see how it works in real life. The biggest thing that we put into play is we will take some of our sold customers and we will provide them obviously with a script. And after the training is done, and we will basically do a survey. And that's really the only way that they're going to get the on the ground experience of picking up that phone is calling some customers to basically talk to them about the purchase that they already made, because in our eyes, it solves two problems. A, we get to survey the customer on their experience, and B, our reps can't really mess that up because we've technically already sold them something at that point, right? So that's what our training process looks like. We always measure it differently based on the individual. It could take several days. It could take a few weeks. But by the end of, you know, about a 30-day time span, we know when someone's really ready.
30 days. Wow. Okay. And how many agents are on the phones, you know, throughout the entire organization?
Well over 100. With all the various in-store BDCs, we've got a few central and regional models. We've got a lot of people receiving inbound calls for new opportunities. Just so many outbound calls right now. It's crazy. The outbound game is still the most prioritized call that we put in force over email, over SMS. That outbound call, you're going to have that connectivity quicker. You're going to be able to emote better with the customer that you just can't get through on, sending a quick text message.
Agree. Yeah. Some of those touches still go a long way. I've got a couple things. So one, what is your process, if any, for the missed opportunity? So it sounds like you've got scripts in place, you've got training. Is there one team that just handles those missed opportunities, or are those scattered across and you have a direct process for them?
Well, you're not always going to connect with everybody on the first try. And so we very much put it into our process that the one and done or two and done or even three and done is not really something that we're interested in. We've got a pretty solid 21-day process to where if we're not connecting with a customer, that's about the time where we'll let our automation take over at that point. Here's a by the numbers, just kind of a statistic, right? We typically, nationally, some are better than others, but we connect with our customers only maybe about 40% of the time. On the low end 30, high end 40, maybe even some sales promotions, we may have 50% connection. So the way that I look at that is, well, we're having a 70% voicemail rate, right? So it's also in how you're talking to this voicemail machine and what type of motivating word tracks or types of, words that you use in a technique fashion to get them to call you back, right? So that's really what we look at is that connection rate and how often we're connecting with those customers, obviously using our software.
Yeah, 21 days, I was saying that's pretty intense, Jacob. And when you go through that type of training process and you're holding your people very accountable to do their job, how do you keep motivated, right? What does the ongoing improvement look like for these reps? Because, I know the energy at your stores, it's intense. And so how do you keep motivated to keep that energy up all the time?
Motivated, you mean besides the positive reinforcement, besides the free snacks, besides the flexible schedules, besides the awesome motorcycle industry, money. I mean, that's really the only way that you're going to motivate anybody at the end of the day. You can make a wonderful work environment and, working inside the motorcycle industry and even automotive for that matter, it's exciting. It's fun. But let's make no doubt about it. They come to work to get paid so that they can support their families and buy things that they like. So we certainly have a wonderful comp plan. We have great benefits, and it's just an awesome place to work and make a living for yourself.
Yeah, I can tell you. I mean, every time on the phone with you or Daniela, right, you can hear it in the background, and it's really amazing.
We call that the buzz. There's a lot of buzz going on.
You have a lot of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it seems like we're going through our questions a little faster than we anticipated, but I really want to know, you are an industry leader by far. So there's people on this call that maybe have been in the industry for a long time as well, but they're afraid to build that BDC. If you had maybe three recommendations for someone thinking about doing that, maybe setting up a new team and being successful, what would you recommend they focus on first?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. I would start with answering your why. Right? Why are we needing to do this? Why are we exploring this? Why are we going to look at the side of hiring somebody or even taking somebody that you've got existing, putting them down at a desk for, seemingly 8 to 10 hours a day, pounding that keyboard, pounding that phone? Why are we going to do this, right? Is there a need for it? Certainly some people still go by the gut. You need a little bit of that, but really you should be looking at your metrics and really answering a lot of those questions to the why with your number. That also kind of goes with assess your needs. If you determine that, hey, by the why do I need this? Why do I do this? Let's look at some of our focus, right? What's important to us is answering the phone call quickly with a dedicated person, 99% of the time important to me because I think that it helps my customers. Absolutely. I think what you'll still find, even in 2022, on the dealership side is that an incoming phone call will ring to the store. A receptionist, who I call the gatekeeper, will answer the phone. Nothing against receptionists, but she'll answer the phone. He or she will answer the phone. Where may I direct your call? They say sales, and immediately it gets parked or on standby somewhere on a hold, and that page goes over the loudspeaker of the entire dealership, call holding, sales call holding, line 101, something like that. And you look around, you see the sales guys just, you know, run towards the phone. Oh, I gotta shag that up, write that phone up. We try not to do that anymore. We try to make it a little bit more systematic and really just try to get that customer connected with a sales representative quicker. So besides that, the third thing is a little tough pill to swallow, but if you're going to create a BDC, if you're going to have this dedicated team, you need to keep them separate from the sales team, right? Now, I see BDC as more of an extension of the marketing department, even though their main essential function is setting appointments for sales. But really, there can be some friction there. I think we've seen that in some BDCs to where, especially if you're doing follow-up on previous visits, right? We call those USTs or unsold traffic. You'll have some sales guys say, hey, don't call this guy. Or they'll walk in there and they'll say, hey, you know, this finance application, that was my guy from 2 weeks ago, right? And what you start to do is you start to erode some of those processes just by having the interactions with the sales guys. So I'm not saying keep them, you know, with some type of, you know, iron veil between them, but certainly they need to be disconnected in terms of they do their job, sales does their job, and at the end, we sell some vehicles.
Those are great. That's a good point. Really good point. So I think we have some online questions, actually.
The first one, have you tried this process with an outsourced contact center, or is this predominantly focused with your own BDC? I know you're doing your own BDC now, but have you ever tried the outsource?
No. We've contemplated it before, especially for the overnight stuff. You know, if a customer's trying to ring us at 10 o'clock at night, is there a need for us answering the phone? Our customers going to understand that, you know, the business is closed. You may not get any answers, let alone anything worthwhile at 10 o'clock at night. So, other than that, no, we've wanted to always maintain it in-house and have them, you know, be part of that team or a centralized region of a team that supports several stores in that area.
Okay, great. Here's a question I'm looking forward to. Is there a dialer software that you're currently using, or are they smile and dialing old school dialing with their fingers?
A little bit of both. So we do not use dialers, mainly because part of our process is actually slowing down just a tad. You're looking at the log. You're maybe doing a little bit of pre-research before you ring out to that customer. Take a drink, spit out your gum, take a deep breath, right? And then you dial. Now, I will say that the only real automated type of software that we are using is the integrated Car Wars click-to-call feature, which I absolutely love. It helps speed up with the efficiency, with accuracy, and it helps to just kind of marry everything together from the phone call to the log in the eLead CRM.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've worked really hard on that integration, and certainly with your help, even on with some of those reports that you're asking for eLead from. And so we appreciate all that help, Jacob. Yeah. The next question is about how many calls are your reps able to handle on any given day?
Well, we've got the metrics, right? So that's how we lead. Some days are less, but when we're hitting the rev limiter at about 80 to 100, depending on the rep, you know, it's about a 20 call swing. That's where we really like to keep the sweet spot. Inbound, outbound, doesn't matter. If they're on the phone 80 to 100 times per day on an 8-hour shift, that's really where we like to keep it. Anything more and reps start to cherry pick, you know, oh, I'm only going to answer, you know, the leads on this really juicy used, you know, bike that I know that we're back of book of, or, you know, this guy's calling in on a unit that we don't have because we're having some supply constraints from the OEM. But, you know, anything less, they start to get bored, twiddle their fingers. So that's really kind of the sweet spot, 80 to 100 a day.
Okay, great. That's a lot of calls. I have a question from Monica. It says, when it comes to internet inquiries, we know that calling is most important, but is the order important in which it happens as well. So yes, calling is important, but the, how you do the order of your contacts, is that just as important?
I think she's talking about the outbound. So yeah, we've got our workflows configured so that anytime a new web inquiry or web lead pops up in our CRM, they get three scheduled activities right off the bat, bang, bang, bang. And the first one is an outbound attempt. Now, obviously, for I just said at the beginning of this call, you know, we have a 70% voicemail rate. So, you know, if we don't get in touch with that customer on that initial swing, then we'll try texting them, obviously, if they have a phone number, and then an email. So those are the three that go right off the bat. But absolutely, the outbound call is priority number one.
So Bethany's got a great question, and I'm sure you've got plenty of stories to go with it. Does separating sales and BDC not create some silos that can lead to poor customer service? So she said she works in an advisory capacity to some dealers who run into issues of the sales not checking on BDC notes in the CRM as much as it does cause friction for customers. So how do you avoid this?
Sure. Well, that's if you're running a separate BDC, right? Some dealerships opt to run a hybrid model where the person on the phone is the same person that will meet with you personally and do the full walk around and the close and the finance, right? So certainly that works in some scenarios the most optimal, right? But when you're running large volume teams where you've got several salespeople and several BDC agents, I found it best to work separately in those teams to where the sales team is not influencing the BDC for the reasons I just explained earlier. Now, if this is an issue of the sales guys not reading the notes or checking with their floor managers or desk managers, sales managers, whatever kind of model you have, well, that's boo-hoo on them. It sounds like we need a little better process training for those sales guys.
That's a good point.
That's great. Thank you. We have a question from Connie. And she'd like to know what qualifications do you have for your BDC agents? And if you've used any employment sites, which ones have been effective for you?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the employment sites, they've changed, you know, throughout the year. So, you know, the Indeeds, the internals, the, you know, I'm forgetting all the names of them right now, but you know, we've used them all. Wherever you can post a job, we've tried it, right? We've gotten lots of applicants. But today, as long as I've been doing this, really the only two qualifications that I look for in a person, in an applicant, is what do they sound like, right? So do they have a clear speaking voice? Are they confident in some of their speeches? And you may not get that on the first day when you're kind of phone screening them, but, you know, it's just basically what's their verbal pattern sound like? Would they sound good on the phone? Because that counts, right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing is it's got to be attitude. You can train everything else, product knowledge. I mean, we're in the motorcycle business now and it's kind of niche, right? Every single person that's in my BDC except for one has never had any prior experience with motorcycles. And that's okay because that's not what we hired them for. We hire product specialists and salespeople for that. This, we train customer service. We're having them do systems and technologies and all these various things that really don't relate to a motorcycle.
Right. That's right. So there's a good question here by Keith. And he asks, how often do you use video to connect with customers in your BDC?
Video. Well, I'll answer with not nearly enough, right? Video has been on my project scope for years now, and how to integrate this into the types of call center type work that we do. I want to do more of it, clearly, but there's some technology limitations in sending a video through the SMS over to the customer, but there's also a lot of great vendors out there that are capitalizing on creating this type of tech. But in my head, the fantasy that I've always kind of had is, you know, rep would record a 15, 20, maybe even 30 second at the most, video of themselves greeting the customer. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Barbie. I saw your inquiry on XYZ model. Just want to say how great it is to finally work with you. I got you set for this appointment tomorrow, 2:15, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's basically it. You would receive that on a text message. And I think that would definitely elevate you over your competitors because we all know that, you know, vehicle shoppers, they shop not one dealer, they shop several, right, if the product's available. But outside of that, some of our sales guys, they are exploring walk-around videos. They're exploring some different type of get-to-know-us or about-us type videos that they're sending their customers. All of it is great. Use it all.
So you're fine with it if they can do it. That sounds good.
Yes. One thing I'll add to that is there's a little bit of, you know, inherent problematic management issues when you're doing some of that stuff, right? Just like the phone calls and the accountability that we put on our people to use our systems so that, you know, if there is a liability, we need to look back through a voice recording. You know, we would want to do it in those systems that we house and manage ourselves, right? Unfortunately, some sales guys, some BDC agents, they will take it upon themselves to kind of record it on their cell phone and send that to the customer. It becomes a little bit tougher to manage at that point, and it makes it limiting.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we're going to do three more questions, right, Barbie?
Yeah.
In a dealership, do you feel it is good for the BDC rep to greet the guest and turn them, or just have the sales staff run with it? Does that apply in Rumble On?
We do, yeah. So for the stores that you have, the in-house BDC agents that set the original appointment, absolutely. Have them shake their hands, see them in person, say hi, but immediately turn them because their job is to make calls and set appointments. So the transition technique that we always used to use is, hey, thanks for coming in, Jeff. Really appreciate it. My name's Jacob. This gentleman here, this is Joe. This is our product specialist. He's just going to walk you around a couple vehicles, see what you like, maybe present you with some financing information. If it sounds great, awesome. We can take it home today, wrap it up for you. If not, certainly we can plan for the future on that.
So stay in your lane, basically, right? Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. That's right. Yeah.
I love it.
I like it. Yeah. So Dawn has a question. She mentioned, what company did you say does some of your training for your BDC agents and managers?
Internal, all internal. We've used some in the past that we've sent some people off to, and you know, I'm not the first person to create a training manual. It always comes from somewhere, right? Every great trainer always had a great model. It's all internal. It's all unique to our business, to our size, and certainly the products that we
have. That's great. All right, so final question we have is from Maurice. We'd like to know some of the KPIs you're looking at daily, weekly, and monthly on these agents. So if you can share some of those KPIs with us.
Maurice, great question, right? You can't manage what you can't measure, right? So what we typically look at is just the sheer outbound productivity, right? How many phone calls / emails / texts are you sending out, right? And just one quick thing on that. There are two really types of team mentalities, right? There's the reactive, which means I'm just going to wait for stuff to come to me, and then I'll deal with it whenever it comes my way. And then there's the proactive, right? I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go hunt. I'm going to go kill. I'm going to eat tonight, right? So that's the kind of mentality that we have. And so that top line measures how many outbound activities you can produce in a day, in a week, in a month, however you want to, you know, shorten or lengthen that time window. And then it simply comes down to connections after that. And then it goes down to appointment set, appointment shown, and appointment sold. And that's actually one of our training models. We call it the 5x50 rule, right? So we've got those five metrics all kind of divided into one another, and you get a 50% baseline, and that's where you can kind of manage, right? So if I wanted to project how many units I want to sell this month, we always look at that bottom line, right? The sales. Well, if I need to make 20 sales this month, I need to get 40 appointments shown. So you start working your way up the triangle. If I want 40 appointments shown, I need to make 80 appointments set, right? You just keep going up the ladder. And that's kind of how you manage your projection.
That's awesome. Really great.
Can you finish that triangle for us, Jacob? I know everyone's writing it down, and I am too, because I've yet to see your stores on site. So I'm curious. Can you finish that little triangle for us?
Okay. Well, I mean, how do you measure it from top down is calls, to contacts, to appointments set, to shown, and then sold, right? So you want to just flip that on its head and just do the math backwards. If say your goal is 20 sold units, Well, you need 40 appointments shown to make that math work if you're using the 50 percentile, right? I know that there's some people that are just, they're going to have a 90% show. Some people aren't as great. They're going to have a 10% show. But 50 is kind of the baseline, right? Because it was always the, well, there's really only two options when you set an appointment. They either show or they don't. That's why it's 50%, okay? So, yeah, and you just keep doubling up that number into your projection model.
That's great. Hey, just following up on that, Jacob, you know, utilizing the Car War software, right, we're able to find out how many firm appointments there are, soft appointments. On the firm appointments, are you confirming those, correct? What's the process look like for confirming those appointments?
It's intense. The process is intense because once we started to understand that, some of our reps are spending, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes up to a half an hour in a phone conversation with a customer, and we finally get them to verbally commit, yes, I will show up at such and such date, at such and such place, I will be there. That's kind of our go time, right? We've got an appointment set on the books. We want to make sure that customer, A, doesn't forget, and B, knows that they're going to meet a manager, they're going to meet with a product specialist, whatever. So we kind of make a big deal out of it. And so just kind of answer your question, we certainly have the originating rep confirm that appointment that they've already set themselves, right? Because it's the same recognition that you get, oh, this is the person, call me back the next day, who said it yesterday, right? But the real trick is to have a dedicated manager, typically the BDC manager or sometimes even the desk manager or sales manager, double confirm that. And here's why, is because when you have a person with a title of authority calling, hey, Barbie, I saw that Jeff set this appointment with you yesterday. I'm really excited. I got a couple great models that I want to show you, present you with a couple, financing options, because it says here in the notes that you're interested in trading and you want to finance. I'm really excited to see you. I just wanted to confirm that time is still good for you tomorrow, 2:15. Is that right? Yes?
Awesome.
Perfect. I'll see you there. My name's Jacob. I'm the manager. That's
kind
of how that works.
I love it.
That is.
We preach that.
Perfection.
Yep. Yeah, it really is. I mean, we always say, Jacob, that the dealerships, I mean, we've been around for a while, right? And everyone has mastered the TO on the showroom floor, right? Here comes the manager. All of a sudden, he puts his hand on their back and they feel important. They've got that expert, again, making them feel special. So you nailed it. I mean, that's exactly what we say. Now, we notice, and they're three times more likely to show up when you do that on the phone. Are you seeing that
Absolutely.
Same number?
Absolutely. Yeah. That management confirmation is essential to maintaining a better than average show rate, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll
give you one more tip. Sorry to cut you off. I'll give you one more tip.
This one
is a little lost on some people that I always capitalized on, but we have a term called selling your name in writing. Right. So I just gave you an example of your rep spending 15, 30 minutes on the phone with a customer. They're building rapport. They're giving you some model options. They're talking about where we are located. And you set the time tomorrow, 2:15, Jeff. Right. Up until this point, we've had a verbal communication. Right. All audible up to this point. Right. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. We're listening to each other. But it's all audible. The selling your name in writing point comes at the end, when you're, just kind of wrapping up the phone call, confirming the high talking points that you just had, right? But you make them get out that pen, and you say, Jeff, go ahead and grab a pen for me real quick. I'll hold. And you have them write it down, because now what you've done is you've taken something audible, and you now turn it into tangible, visual, right? And now you've long gone, let's fast forward a couple hours from now, you've long gone, hung up the phone, you're off doing a million other things as the consumer, but now you've got this piece of paper that says, I'm supposed to be somewhere tomorrow, 2:15, staring you in the face, right? Mm-hmm. So just having them write it down, as simple as it may sound, is lost on a lot of people, but it's the most effective for increasing your show rates.
That is fantastic.
Such a great one. Yeah, we're going to share that with our team.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, everyone, thanks again for tuning in today. Jacob, it was an absolute pleasure having you go through this with us. I had a lot of fun, and I hope everyone online did. And learn something from truly a master of BDCs, Jacob. So thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys and all the work that you do for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks all for tuning in.
Bye, guys.
Bye.